It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, the California legislature is back in session, and we're pleased to be joined on the phone today by Republican Jim Patterson, who represents District 8 in the Assembly, which covers the Motherlode region. Assemblyman Patterson, it's great to have you on Motherlode Views.
Good to be with you. Thank you for the invitation. You surveyed absolutely gorgeous part of California. I've been there a couple of times, and delighted to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the program as well, and you're right. It is a beautiful area that we live in. You know, just for clarification out of the gate, the Motherlode area for several years had Frank Bigelow representing us in the Assembly. He's been on the show several times. Then there was redistricting in your Fresno district, and his Madera district kind of collided, merged together, and you're now the representative for the region after winning election in 2022.
Yes. Large new district. Formerly, it ended at the San Joaquin River. And reapportionment put it past the San Joaquin River, clear up to your area there in Sonora, went across the San Joaquin River that went over across the Sierra Nevada Mountains. It's along the 395 corridor over there by the Nevada border. So it's huge, but it is principally the Fresno, Clovis, some of the Madera area, as well as up into your neck of the woods. So been up there several times. Actually visited and stayed at the Black Oak Casino there and enjoyed that area. So appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. And by the way, you know, I'm an old radio guy. I owned radio stations for 30 years in Fresno and Boise, Spokane, Bakersfield, and San Luis Obispo over the years. And so I understand local radio and the importance of what you folks do in your region.
Well, that's great. You know, before we dive into state issues, for anyone who's unfamiliar with your background, can you tell us about what you did before coming to the Assembly?
Sure. Well, I was the mayor of Fresno from, 93 to 2001. I was Fresno's first strong mayor and served 8 years there. And then was elected to the legislature several years thereafter, and have spent the last 11 years in Sacramento and representing the area. And I'm in my final year. So my professional life was spent 30 years owning and operating radio stations, and my political life started back in those days when Fresno was in some severe trouble, and I was on my radio station, and I was letting people know that Fresno can do a whole lot better than this. I mean, we had almost 100 homicides that year. 15,000 cars were being stolen. Graffiti was everywhere. And the local newspaper did a story about Fresno and freefall. And I was on my radio station, and I was just saying, look, we can do a whole lot better than this. And the local chamber of commerce said, listen, Jim, we've heard what you had to say. We think you could be a good mayor. Would you run? Let's not just complain over the air, but maybe you can change things. Thought about it, decided, and won the election. And in 8 years, because I really had the people of Fresno, Clovis, and that area behind me, I also had a wonderful staff, a city council that was willing to work with me. And by the time I finished up my 2 4-year terms, Fresno's homicide rate was down to 24. The car thefts were down to like 3,000. The insurance companies lowered their insurance rates in Fresno. And Fresno was honored as an All-America city in 2000. So I learned the lesson that you need to understand the area. You need to make promises. You need to keep them. And you need to have, you know, good people around you. And you need to have communities around you that say, you know what? We trusted Jim with our vote, and he does the things that he promises. And that's what I learned as mayor, and I've tried to do that as a member of the legislature for the last 11 years.
So let's jump into some of the state issues. Governor Gavin Newsom put out his proposed budget that's now on the table. What's your kind of initial reaction to seeing his plan?
Well, I actually think that we are in more fiscal difficulty than the governor will admit. And I think we are headed for some very serious cuts. The independent legislative analyst has basically said that, you know, there's a $68 billion shortfall. And unfortunately, the governor didn't recognize the independent accuracy of the analyst and sort of said, well, it's not that bad. And we're starting to see some cuts. And what has troubled me is that I think education is probably going to see some cuts. I know there's a huge effort not to cut education. That's so important. For those up in, you know, the forested areas and around Sonora and some of the areas up in the Sierra Nevadas, we were anticipating substantial amounts of forest management resources. And unfortunately, that's been some of what's what the governor has cut. And so the problem that California faces is that we increasingly rely on a small number of highly wealthy and well-to-do people. Their capital gains are much of what drives our budgets. But unfortunately, over the objections, my objections and others, I serve on the big budget committee. I mean, the ruling party in Sacramento just spends and spends. And so we spent way too much money on one-time things and on ongoing kinds of expenditures, things of that nature. And frankly, it caught up with us. And the legislative analyst said it's going to be a while, and it's going to be significant challenges, not just this budget year, but going forward. So I think the reality of what I have concluded in the 11 years I've been here is that we produce make-believe budgets. It's not the reality. And we get caught up in the reality when we project too much revenue, we downplay too much spending, and then we get caught in the reality that the revenue isn't there and the spending goes on, and now we're in a big deficit. So we're in for some, I think, rough negotiations and some tough decision-making going forward in order to balance the budget.
I think it's probably confusing, too, for some people. The LAO, as you said that $68 billion figure. The governor says it's closer to $37 billion. For people who are outside of the state capitol in Sacramento, you know, can you explain at all how there's such wide differences on what the deficit is?
Yeah, I think it's because the governor's office deals in political calculation, where the LAO is responsible for truthful fiscal and financial analysis. All of us know up here that when you want the truth about policy, the truth about spending, the truth about whether we're headed in the right direction or not, you look at the independent legislative analyst. They tell you the truth. They don't gild it over. They're clear-eyed about it. They have experts in all of these fields. And so when the LAO says it's 68 and the governor says it's, well, I don't know, 38, I believe the legislative analyst, and I think that the governor's office, I think they politicize the budget rather than analyzing it and staring the real truth in the face for obvious reasons.
And as you said, regardless, there's a budget or there's a deficit and there's going to have to be cuts. You know, what are the types of things that you would like to see cut to try to get the spending in line?
Well, you know, too often we're spending a lot on special interest kind of stuff. We're spending money telling people, you know, how they can live their lives, what cars they can drive, what kind of appliances they can use in their homes. There is an ideological bent up here toward, I think, going after things that people need, want, and enjoy, and spending a lot of money trying to quote-unquote save the planet by telling people what cars they can drive and whether or not they can, you know, ride, you know, in public transportation as an alternative. But the interesting thing is that this governor had to face the music, and so much of this environmental stuff and climate change stuff he has already put on the chopping block. So there are discretionary things that are not as important as our public safety, our public infrastructure, you know, the health care that is being provided, those kinds of things. And so a lot of the sort of budget silliness that I've seen here in 11 years is sort of falling by the wayside. And yet there's this continuing drumbeat by special interests that go after the governor and go after the Democrats up here that say, oh, you can't cut climate change because if you do that, we're going to die. But here's the truth of it. If you shut down the entire state economy in California, the greenhouse gas emissions would be cut by 1% globally. I mean, so we're shaking up everybody's lives for, what, 1%. The other problem is if we don't continue to do the hard work of our forest management, we're going to continue to have these forest fires. And you know what? The state of California does not count the emissions from the forest fires. If they did, California would be a net emitter of particulates and greenhouse gases. And so they just ignore the fact that unmanaged forests that explode, dead trees everywhere, we all know that. And we've seen what has happened around your area. I saw the Creek Fire firsthand in my backyard. It's disappointing that the governor has chosen to cut back on some of this forest management that I think is absolutely necessary. And yet we make believe that those forest fires don't contribute to greenhouse gas and particulates and bad air. And it does. But we don't count it. That's turning your back on the truth. I just think that's part of making political decisions instead of real world decisions.
We need to take a break. We're talking with Assemblyman Jim Patterson on this weekend's Motherlode Views. He's a Republican who represents District 8. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with California District 8 Republican Assemblyman Jim Patterson on this weekend show. Talked a lot about the state budget during the first session. Assemblyman Patterson, I want to get into some of the more high-profile bills. One that's getting talked about and we've reported on in our newscasts is a bill looking at youth football, tackle football, specifically for kids under the age of 13. I'm curious your thoughts on this proposal as it's being discussed.
Look, sports and what our kids play and how we make them safe and how we decide, really that's a parental responsibility. And I don't think politicians ought to get into saying, well, you can't let your kids play tackle football in youth football. Because I want to tell you something. Governor Newsom was forced yesterday or the day before to come out and say he'd veto the bill because parents have come up in arms. And they're from all walks of life and they're all colors of the rainbow. And if this youth football, particularly for minority students, to have a chance to, you know, be a star, to then go on to high school and then go on to college and maybe even into the professional ranks. And this was an undercurrent, I believe, that just said to the government of the state of California, you have gone too far. When you tell us as parents that we can't allow our kids to play youth football, you've just gone too far. And what the proponent of this bill doesn't realize is that, yes, there are possibilities of concussions, but they're no greater or lesser than other kinds of sports and other kinds of activities that young people engage in. And so the rhetoric of the author that it's tackle football at that age, and we passed a bill a few years back that basically set standards of participation with respect to what kinds of tackling you can do. The helmets have to be and the pads and all of that has to be safe. And so what we tried to do is to say, okay, We know we can make it safer. We're going to go try and do that. I was glad to vote for that bill when it came before us. And yet the reality is that you have a member of the assembly that put the bill forward, and I don't think he had any idea of the backlash that he was going to get. There were a lot of parents that were here at the Capitol today basically saying, no, this is my choice. And I think also a good friend of mine that was a seatmate of mine for quite a while was Jim Cooper. And Jim Cooper is now the Sacramento sheriff. He was an assembly member as well. Moderate Democrat, just a good guy. And he sent a letter a couple of days ago that basically said to the members of the assembly, don't do this. This youth football is a pathway to success. It's a pathway to, you know, understanding the opportunities that sports provide. You can have camaraderie. You can learn skills. You can understand teamwork, all of those kinds of things. And so the bottom line is this bill is DOA. The question is, now that the governor has said he's going to veto it, is whether or not the author calls it up. It's eligible to be on the floor for us to vote on, but I think the wise thing for this individual to do is to just pull the bill, because nobody wants to vote for this. And to run us through this exercise that would be futile, and the governor, even if it gets to his desk, he's going to veto it. I think he needs to learn the lesson that the chief executive has said he's making a decision on this, and just let it be. And I think that parents are the right ones to make the choice, not politicians, and particularly not to ban certain activities. I think it's possible that you can have your 12, 13, 14-year-old play in youth football. I mean, look, this is Pop Warner football. And Pop Warner football has been the launching place for so many who have athletic abilities. And you know, sports has also been the pathway for a lot of young people to find out that they have this pathway into college, into scholarships, and into a world where they are important, they do well at what they do, and they have this now opportunity because of youth football and youth sports. And so I'm glad we probably don't have to face this on the floor. My guess is that the author is going to say, okay, if the governor is going to veto it, why put members through the agony of having to vote for something?
Yeah, I appreciate the update on that piece of legislation. As you mentioned, you're going into your last session here. What are some of the other things that you would hope to like to see accomplished during your final term?
A number of things. All three of my children are adopted. My oldest son, BJ, is Vietnamese. He was orphaned in Vietnam. He came to the United States in Operation Baby Lift when he was 18 months old. Our middle son, Jason, is a county adoption, and my daughter, Lindsay, was a private adoption. And so for the last 11 years, I have been the author of adoption legislation in the state of California, making it less cumbersome, less expensive, and more secure when the families are formed. And that has been near and dear to my heart. Other areas, Fresno handles sex trafficking quite a bit differently than what has been the norm. And we have been blessed to have survivors of sex trafficking who have come out of that life to form organizations like Breaking the Chains and others that provide a safe home, a safe place for the victims. And so what Fresno has done, because we have a good police practices and we care about the victims, is to use the authority of the badge to separate that sex trafficked young girl from the pimp and get that victim away from their victimizer, and they go to that safe house. You know, these young girls, they have criminal records, but you know, it's on their record, but it really wasn't their doing. They were forced to do the things that got them the criminal record. And if they didn't, they were drugged or they were beaten, or in many ways they were forced into this kind of behavior. And because I was close to Breaking the Chains and their founder and heard the stories of these traffickers, I found that there were several of the young women who, one of them trained to be an EMT and had gotten out of the life and was now in school, got the training, passed her exams, but because she had that record, she could not be hired by Fresno Fire Department. She couldn't be hired by American Ambulance. And it broke my heart. It broke her heart. So we were able to pass a bill that required the courts to vacate those nonviolent criminal past in a 90-day period of time. And that vacature cleans up their record. And the bill also requires those individuals who have authority over that information, the courts and public safety and others, to vacate that information from the public domain as well. So here are these young women who are trying to get free from the life that they were trafficked in, and their old life was following them while they were trying to make their new life. And one of the joys of my tenure was to see that bill unanimously go through, signed by the governor. And right now, if we're trafficked and we can separate that trafficked young girl, get her into Breaking the Chains or some of the other safe houses, and she leaves the life behind, trains for something, she can petition the court, and the court has to adjudicate and vacate in 90 days. So that's something I'm really proud of. Other areas, we've been working on the nursing shortage, and so we've been able to pass some legislation that says those retired nurses who want to come back into the workforce and they want to or volunteer because we have a nurse shortage, their license fee is waived. They also have ongoing education credit stuff that becomes expensive and all of that. And that became law, and retired nurses who want to come back, they can do it without a lot of heavy administrative fees or licensures or things of that nature, because we trust them. We know they've done a good job and they want to come back. And so we've been working on that. And also we worked on fentanyl. Fresno County has what's called the FORT program, F-O-R-T. It's the Fentanyl Overdose Rescue Team. And this is law enforcement, education, all these others. And they are in a group. And so when we get a fentanyl overdose, like, say, at a hospital, there are health people there, there are law enforcement people, they're all together. We're also doing very significant warnings to young people, particularly in the idiom they understand and on the media that they listen to. And it's been fairly successful. And I was able to pass a bill a couple years back that replicates in Northern California, Southern California, and in Central California these programs. We wanted $3 million when we put it forward and it got to the governor's desk. He gave us $5 million. But when they decided to allocate to the various applicants, they bumped that up to $7 million. And I'm grateful to say that none of that money is being delayed or not put out, because the administration and the Department of Public Health really liked the bill and its education, its law enforcement, its health, those kinds of things. And so these are the areas that I've been working on and I'm continuing to work on as well.
Well, I'm going to take a quick break. We can pick up on this just ahead. A quick second. We're going to need to take one more break. We got just a few minutes left on Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined by Assemblyman Jim Patterson, who's joining us via telephone. We're going to hear some final comments from Assemblyman Patterson in just a minute. We'll be back in just a second.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We have a few more minutes with Assemblyman Jim Patterson, who represents District 8, getting us up to speed on everything he's working on at the state capitol in Sacramento. As we were wrapping up the last segment, Assemblyman Patterson, I know you were talking about some fentanyl and other legislation. So any other points you wanted to make?
Yeah, I've learned that the office brings with it oversight and accountability. I serve on the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. We have the California State Auditor that is open and available to members. We can audit, I audited high-speed rail. We audited the DMV. We audited the EDD. And if you'll recall, this is independent, nonpartisan. They go where the facts follow them. And it has created the opportunity to hold bureaucracies accountable that are basically more inclined to serve themselves than to serve the people of California. And so holding bureaucracies accountable by challenging them, for example, with audits, or challenging them at committee hearings, how you're spending the money and why aren't you doing a better job and those kinds of things, are tools that someone like me, who serves in the minority up in the state capitol, can have significant influence on the bigger picture in the state through holding bureaucracies accountable. They ought to be serving the public. They ought to be doing a much better job. The technology in the state is not good. The bureaucracies are old-fashioned. They're top-heavy. They were formed in the 60s and 70s. They're not modern, nimble, and quick. Those are the kinds of things that I found you can be helpful, even though you're in the minority, because you hold an office in the state legislature that gives you those kinds of opportunities.
You know, we've got just about a minute left, and I know this is a big topic, but homelessness, you know, in the time we have left, homelessness and housing, do you think there will be much happening this legislative session to make any notable changes?
Well, I hope so. We do have the Building Industry Association, we do have the realtors and other significant players in that field who are helping us, and we're going to be seeing bills that may help. But I think, with all due respect to what can the state do, there has to be reform at the local level, meaning you've got to set aside adequate space for new homes, for new apartments, things of that nature. The city of Fresno does that with its general plan. But you've got to be able to plan for your growth. And the interesting thing about Fresno is it's going to end up with a significant growth. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the area. It's the fifth largest in the state already. And we're looking to see, we're about 600,000 now. We think we'll be at 1 million or more. And what has to happen is the land use planners and those that are in the building industry, you've got to lower the barriers, reduce the time, reduce the bureaucratic cost being layered on, so that you can have ample stock and that it's affordable to most people. And I think that throwing a big bunch of money on, let's say, a small unit of affordable housing that costs $250,000 to build, I don't think that's the answer.
Well, Assemblyman Patterson, I wish we had more time on today's show, but we've run out of time. Thanks so much for coming on and getting us up to speed on everything that's going on at the state capitol.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity, and my best to everybody up in the Motherlode area. It's a gorgeous place, and we facetiously talk about this new district as our vacation district. I love going out into the areas beyond Fresno, because I'm a trout fisherman. I love the outdoors. I love to be up there and see you folks. So appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for the privilege of receiving your votes and serving you up in the state capitol.
It's definitely a great place to live. Again, we thank Assemblyman James Patterson for joining us on this weekend show. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.